Sawad al-Radi and Amar al-Hadidi have lived in Baghdad most of their lives. Sawad is 85, Amir is in her 60s. Both studied in the United States and grew up with the great respect for this country. But now the bombs are falling all around them, and they are furious with the U.S. government for dropping democracy on their heads in the form of laser-guided missiles. We reached them earlier today as they lamented the destruction of their city, Baghdad, the cradle of civilization. Sawad al-Radi spoke first.
I am Sawad al-Radi, and I live in North Baghdad. Our house is on the riverside. I'd like to tell the American public that you keep on talking of trying to protect the civilian population, and yet the civilian populations are really the ones who are being killed constantly. Now, all the houses on the river, next to the river, we all are sitting without windows, and some even their doors have been blown out. In this weather, when we have the airplanes are bombarding us, and nature also is doing its work also, because we have a very big dust storm alongside with heavy rain and the bombardment, all the three together. You know, even today, they hit a marketplace where there is really nothing military to be hit. There were ordinary, simple people going to the market to buy some food. Why should two rockets hit these people? And the day before, another area, also it was a marketplace. Why?
Sawad,
people stay in their homes and go hungry without eating. They shouldn't go out to buy their food. This is ridiculous. We just can't understand the policy of the United States. They keep on saying, we don't want to hurt the civilians. We want to protect the civilians. Well, this is not the way. And if you say you want to bring democracy, how could you bring democracy? Democracy was bombed. I mean, this is, what kind of democracy is this? I mean, how would you accept? They keep saying that they think that the Iraqis would receive them with open arms. Well, how could you, when your country is being hit, when your people are being murdered? How would you feel?
Sawad, this is Dennis. Could you talk a little bit more about what it's like when the bombs are falling and what happened to your house?
Yes, well, the bomb fell across the river. But the houses on this side of the river, they are all without windows, and some of them have no doors also. And, you know, some of the modern houses have got huge pane windows in the ground, which you can't replace now. They are sitting without windows. Some of them have to vacate their house. They couldn't stay in their houses anymore. But, I mean, this is hitting the civilians as well. Even now, I'm talking, you are talking to me, and I hear the bombs being falling, you see. And the houses shake every time, I mean, all the houses. And you know that my nephew, who's 2 years old, he took, the minute he hears the bomb, he said, tish, tish. He's trying to, and then he says, dead. And dead and monster, you see, that's what he says. These are kids, how would they feel later on? I mean, if you have got children and you know this is happening to you, what do you think? How could you feel? I mean, do you have sympathy towards the people who are trying to kill you? What sort of feeling do you have? And you know, so many of the I studied at an American school, and it was a religious school. They didn't teach us that this is how you treat people who've done nothing to you. I mean, what harm did we do to the United States? We are no danger to the U.S. It's not our fault if our land is in minerals or in oil. This is not our fault. I mean, you can do it through association. We've always been on, in the olden days, we've always been on good terms together. They could do the same thing. I mean, Iraq can't swallow its oil. It has to sell it. We don't want it. You know, people are saying now, they are praying, they say, please God, dry our oil so that nobody would think of us anymore. We'll go back to our agriculture and that's all.
Sawad, could you tell us your response? The U.S. says they're coming to liberate Iraq, to save you from Saddam Hussein.
But did we send a message saying, please come and liberate us. We haven't asked for that. This is not the way to liberate people by killing them. I mean, half of the Iraqi population would be killed. Whom are they liberating? And very happily, they say they've killed 600 people next to a very religious place. And a very religious place, they've killed 600 people. And do you think people in the cities? You know, when you feel it's no matter whether you agree with the government or not, when your country is being hit, you are being hit. You see, and you will react. Of course, you will react. So everybody is united.
Suwad, have you been speaking with some of your friends, your relatives? What have people been telling you?
They are all unhappy, and they all feel very bad about it. Nobody's happy. What do you think? Do you think people are happy? I mean, Iraq is a religious place, you know? And we've got over 400 saints and prophets buried in this country. Do you know that? Over 400 saints and prophets. Our country is an ancient country. You dig anywhere in Iraq, it's a known fact. You dig anywhere in Iraq, you find either oil or water, or you find ancient sites. And then the places they are hitting close by. I mean, they said the 600 people next to Najaf. Najaf is the holiest place for the Shia. They come from all over the world to come and visit the shrine. Has been a place for all religions. Do you know, even the head of the Sikh religion, you know, the Indian Sikh, Baba Nanak, even he is buried in Iraq. Do you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
I mean, over 400. I mean, we have the saints and the prophets of all the religions of the world have come at a certain time. Iraq has been, why did they choose Iraq to come and be buried here? Why? I'd like to know. This is the land that introduced writing and had the Hammurabi laws. The first laws in the world that came into being came from this country. I mean, we want to deal in peace with everybody in the world, with the whole world. And this is what I can't understand. The United States people have been very successful in the 2 years of their life. We all admire that a lot. But if you were successful in that, the world is full of variation. There are all sorts of people. Because you were successful in what you did in the United States, you are trying to impose whatever you have on everybody in the world. And this is wrong. How do you know that other people don't want that?
Suhad,
I mean,
Suhad, this is
why what you have done. Yes.
This is Dennis Bernstein. Yeah. I just want to tell people that we're speaking with you in Baghdad. You've had the windows blown out of your house. The bombs are still falling.
We have plastic now on our window. I'm trying to keep the dust and the rain. We put plastic. And I am lucky because my window is not too big, so I could put plastic. But those who've got huge windows, the modern ones, they can't put plastic. They had to put all their belongings maybe in one room to protect it and let their home. You see?
The U.S. says that in terms of the civilian casualties, the U.S. says is trying to blame Saddam Hussein, saying that he's pushing civilians in front of the bombs. He's using civilians as shields. What's your response to that?
No, the civilians themselves, I mean, nobody forces you to go and fight. Just a minute, my friend over here would like to say a word.
Hello, I am Amal Al-Khadiri, a neighbor of Suad. My house is also in the river. I am one of the people here who work very hard for months and months to bring us together, to have an intercultural relation, because I have a place which is almost an institution. It's called Al-Bayt Al-Iraqi. We used to talk to people from your country, to journalists from all over the world, telling them to understand each other, to have a dialogue instead of having rockets. Democracy doesn't come by rockets. Democracy comes by dialogue. And I thought you were one of the foremost people who like to have dialogues. Why don't you have dialogues with us? Why do you want us to listen to your rockets? You talk about peace. You talk about having no interest in Iraq but to free Iraq. How could you free Iraq with your rockets and your bombardment? Why did you think that would you receive aggressors with flowers and hugging? Yet we have Americans now in our country. We talk to them every day. We have dialogue with them. We entertain them. I used to entertain hundreds and hundreds, even the bereaved people from your country, in New York, in my house, in the Beit al-Iraqi. You can ask some of them. We talked, and you know very well, we have nothing to do with all your problems. We didn't come to your country and occupy your country. You are coming to our country to occupy our country. And yet your president, I heard his speech just this evening. He says he's coming to free us, and yet vengeance is in his mind, not liberation. Who asked him to come and liberate us? If he has a few silly people on the other side, mercenaries, these are not Iraqi people. And he's surprised civilians are meeting your army. Of course, these are patriotic people. Iraqi people are patriotic people. They love their land. It's not a question of one man. It's their land they are fighting for, their freedom. We don't want an American general to come and rule us. What do you think if an Iraqi imami will come and rule the state? Elect an imam to rule your America?
Why do you think the Americans have come there? For the oil? To control you? Why do you think they're there?
What else? Do you think we are such silly people? Do you think we believe that you come to free us? What do you think? If you come to my house, which received so many of your people, so many of your journalists, ask many of your journalists about my house. You know, it's a sham now. It's no more a house. My books are scattered. My antique things are broken. My windows, my doors, even my library. Ask these people who come here, Voices in Wilderness. They have seen my place and peace movement and Doctors Without Frontiers. Ask all these people who are free people, who can think, who are human. Why can't you be either human or logical? You are neither human nor logical in this act. And I was surprised and shocked to hear people applauding your president this evening for the nonsense he was saying. Everybody knows it. You should hear today the people who were bombarded in a very local, modest area where people go and have their fruits because we eat. Don't think we are hungry people. We have fresh fruit every day. We have fresh vegetables every day. People were going to shop, and there were two rockets on that area. Why? Why? What for? And you tell me you are here not for oil? What are you for then? Killing people? Just killing people like that? 2 days ago, there was another attack with a rocket. Again, very modest area. There were very modest houses there. There were people selling their vegetables and fruits to people. And you come and just send them a rocket like that. And by mistake, you will tell me. You know, the area in front of our houses, which Saad was telling you about, have been bombarded almost every day for the last 6 days since the war started. Why? What have we done? Why don't you look a little bit what Israel is doing, what Sharon is doing? Why? How could you be a journalist, a human being, and not see the two things together and judge it together? What have we done to the Americans? What have we done to any people? War was with our neighbor, it's finished, and you have 30 countries came and fought us that day, 92.
to liberate. We made a mistake. You liberated. What else you want us to do? And for the last 10 years, you have been taking our money, confiscating our money all over the world, kicking down our ambassadors, trying to kick our ambassadors from every country so that we don't have any dialogue with anybody. And then you prevented medicine. You postponed so many agreements between us, although you have said that you will do this for the petrol we are giving. You will give us at least our food. And you have been taking so much of that money for everybody except the Iraqis. Why? And you think that no Iraqis will think about that? Do you think we are stupid people? We have been on this earth for the last 5,000 years. And we were the first to create writing. And read one of your American people who said what we have done to this earth. And you don't know even your specialists, they didn't know we have more than 3,000 mounds in this country, archaeological mounds, which have not yet been discovered. And you are going to bombard every part of Iraq. You are bombarding every part of Iraq. You made a mess in the north. You don't know where the north is, where the south is. Even your foreign minister doesn't know where the north is. Look what they are doing. Who is fighting now? Do you know who's fighting near Najaf? The Shias fighting near the Najaf. Together with the Sunnis. Together with Christians. And do you know that Iraq has been one of the first... Do you hear the bombardment now?
Tell us what's going on.
And you know that Iraq was the cradle of Christianity, and we have churches next to mosque, and we used to have also Jewish schools and everything. Who messed all these? America and Israel. I'm saying this personally, please.
Can you hear the bombs now? Where are the bombs falling?
Just, I don't know. They keep on bombarding this area in front of us. Have they not finished with all these? Look, if they want to bombard the palaces, are they not our heritage? Don't you go and search? All your archaeologists come and search for all palaces, for everything they hear. You know they have bombarded... Because it is secret, because it's the birthplace of our president, they went and bombarded one of the best museums in the country. Do you know that? Do you know they have attacked our university, which is called Muslim Sharia? Do you know they have attacked one of the oldest schools in the whole world called Muslim Sharia School? Do you know that? Well, please tell your people. If they don't have any humanitarian feeling, let them have logic. Let them have a respect for human heritage. This is not Iraq heritage only. It belongs to the whole world. One of your rich people, you know what we heard he wants to do? To buy our archaeological sites. That's what he offered. Can you imagine how limited they are there on the other side? What happened? Tell me, I went to an American school. I didn't learn this from my school. We have American friends. Our students used to go and study in the States. We had intercultural relation. What's happening to you? What's happening? Could you believe this is the leader of the greatest country in the world? He talks about destroying our mass destruction. What are you doing now? Aren't you destroying us all, Iraqi people, 24 million people in this country? Why? What will be left if the Iraqis are destroyed? What will be left? Believe me, we are the center of civilization. We are the center of power in this country. And I don't think you will be able to destroy our spirit. You will win a battle... But you will not win the war. You will lose peace. You will lose friendship. And this is a great thing. This is our common human culture. You will lose us. you will lose humanity. You will lose many friends. And we were good friends to you. Believe me. But now there will be no friends.
I would like to ask you about your friends and your relatives. What have you heard? Have any of your friends have been hurt? What are you doing to protect yourselves now?
I am a refugee in Saad's house now because I can't live in my house. I don't know which part of it will fall on my head. Do you know that? I had to empty my library today because it was falling down. And my books were scattered all over the place. And my place, which is called Beit al-Iraqi, I closed it. I used to receive everyday guests from all over the world. We would sit and talk. It was like an oasis in this hard time. People used to come to that place. But everything was just, again, opposite to that. The Ministry of Planning was put down to ground. I don't dare even to go there because glasses are falling down. In spite of that, I was thinking with my friend to go and open the courtyard there to receive friends, to talk, to see what's going wrong with this world. And yet, the second day we heard there were again another bombing, another glasses falling, so we don't want to take the risk, neither for ourselves nor to the other, although the risk is existing even now when I am talking to you, because the house is shaking. Thank you. I'm sorry I went on like this.
No, please keep talking with us. We very much want to hear what's going on. I would like to ask you, if I could, talk a little bit about how this is affecting young people and children.
Well, she told you what happened. These are few people more protected than others, and they have a grandmother who is English, and yet the child is, you know, is defying. With one hand, he's pushing the thing, the rocket, as if he's pushing the rocket, and he says there is a monster, and he just... Can you imagine what happened to your children if rockets are like that over their head? Why? Our children, believe me, I'm saying the truth. I used to travel all over Iraq. Our children were the most healthy, the healthiest children, you know? Why? Women were educated. We have equal, as you see now, you know, women are fighting with men. And what does... Can you imagine how you don't understand our values? Your president was saying that our women and children were used as shields. This is a thing an Iraqi man will never do because our women want to fight with their men. Some are behind feeding them and some are fighting with them. The other day it was only a farmer woman who shot one of your... military vehicle. And it's a farmer who shoot one of your planes. Can you imagine that? With an ordinary German gun. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? And because of that, because they showed them on the television, they hit our television today so we don't see those pictures of bravery. And the whole world will not see this picture of bravery. They were ashamed because some of your prisoners appeared on the television and they blamed the Al Jazeera because they put it on. See your prisoners. You have to see your prisoners. You are not God. We can have prisoners from you and we can shoot some of your people. Think of all the dead you are causing now among innocent people, and your president says he comes to liberate us. What do you think we are?
Could you please tell us your name and how old you are, please?
I am M.L. Al-Khaveri.
And how old are you?
Of Iraq, Beit al-Iraqi.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear me?
Yes, and can I ask you how old you are, please?
In my 60s.
You're in your 60s, and Suad is 85, right?
Yes. We lived our life. We don't care what happens, but we care for our future. We care for our young people. We care for our children. That's what we for our grandchildren.
Well, I want to...
For humanity. We are sorry for the humanity because there are such leaders leading the world. And I'm sorry to say it. I was really, really ashamed of myself to live in an age after all this improvement we saw in our young days, to see such leaders and so many people applauding him for what he's saying. How dare he?
I want to thank you very, very much for talking with us. So much.
I hope you will put it in the right context, because I have again another experience where they don't put the thing in the context and it sounds awful and silly. And I am not a silly person. I know that.
We will put it exactly as you say it. We will play it exactly as you say it.
Good. Thank you. You want to talk to Saad anymore?
If she would like to say goodbye to us, sure. Hi, Suad.
Hello. Yeah, I know. You see, because I wanted you to hear hear her part of the story also, because you know there are many people like her also, because she's a hardworking person. She studied both in American schools as well as in England and in Switzerland, and she really has had an open house. It was like a club which was open to everybody. I mean, to poets, to artists, to painters, whatever line you could think of. We all met together, and then all the foreigners, they knew the house was open to all the foreigners, whoever came to Baghdad. And I can tell you now, I told an American of one day, I said, you know, the only place in the world now you can walk, especially in the Arab world, as an American, you can walk in the street and nobody molests you is Baghdad. Because truly speaking, we are very tolerant people. We like foreigners. We like to talk to them. We like to mix with them. But you know, this is all going to be spoiled. I don't know how we'll behave later on. I don't know. Maybe it will be a sect house. Maybe we won't be that hospitable as we were before. And the Iraqis are known all over the Arab world that they are very, very hospitable. We are very tolerant. We are not dogmatic. I mean, even in our religion, we are not dogmatic. I'm a Muslim, but I go to church, and I see just as close to Mary, the mother of Jesus, as I do to our Prophet Muhammad. So we've always lived together with all the religions all around us.
Well,
maybe you don't know that, but Iraq has always been known as an extremely tolerant place for all religions. Do you know we have different religions? We have a religion which is called the Sabia that goes back to the Sumerian time. They worship water, pure water. And we have another religion up in the north who not worship the devil, but because they fear the devil, they never mention his name. Nobody touches them. Nobody abuses them. Nobody forces them to change their religion. I mean, this is what we are, and that's why we feel so bad about it, that we are so badly understood.
Suad, this is Dennis. I want to thank you very, very much for sharing this time with our audience. We appreciate it, and we would love to call you back and stay in touch with you if we could.
Thank you. Thank you very much for keeping it open and accepting all our criticism, because we don't want to criticize, you see, because we just want to stay in the fact as they are. We want to be understood, you know, because, I mean, it's not right that our side of the story is not being told, you know.
We're going to try and let you tell your story. We're going to play this just as you both said it, so people can hear what your words are.
Once in one of the meetings, when there were people from the wilderness and there were people from the peace effort, when we were all meeting together, and they asked us to talk to the American press and to the American people. So I just asked him one thing. I said, who would do the editing of whatever you are saying? You know, he said, yes, you are right. He did. He did admit. He said, you are quite right. It would be edited, and you don't know which which part would be eliminated and which part would be accepted. And probably part that would be accepted, as my friend was saying, the meaning of it would be completely different. It is not put in the right context. Thank you for listening. And we are very grateful, and I hope one day we can see each other.
I look forward to that day.
Yes, if we had a chance, we'd love to sit together and talk. My friend said she would love to invite you to her Beit al-Iraq, which means the Iraqi house. Beit is home. You see, the Iraqi house is the cultural place. Plus an artistic place.
Suad, I look forward to that day when we can be together, we can share a meal and share poetry and give each other a hug. Thank you so much.
From our part of the country, of the world, we say good night now.